your seats, cause it's about to go down.
Nerds and geeks, it is Saturday night, and we are most definitely live. The legendary Nerd-O Roundtable is here. Yours truly, King Nerdificent Twala Sharp in the building. Looking into my looking glass, I see Ryan. Hello, Ryan. I see Ryan in the building. McVane.
This is Romper Room.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
The one and only Mo Kelly.
See, it's Story Key.
Dr. Liz from the freeway.
How's everyone doing today?
Tom is talking Cunningham.
Hello.
And Anthony from Two Cubicles Down.
We got Sherlock Holmes over here with that looking glass.
Yes, I'm doing it, my friends. How y'all doing this week?
Good.
Yeah.
Here
is good. There's a whole lot of folks who cannot say the same. This is truly a blessing to be alive. In the Nerdverse, oddly enough, and I'm curious because I would like to know all about it. I hear so much buzz, so much this, so much that about you people. And by you people, I don't mean you people here in this podcast. I don't mean you people watching. I mean the Eddie Murphy, Jonah Hill-led You People from Kenya Barris on Netflix. From my understanding, this is my first take on it from what I gather because I haven't watched it. Kenya Barris does not know how to make movies. What he has done is he has strung together a bunch of episodes of Blackish with cursing and a lot of N-word usage and made a movie starring Eddie Murphy. I haven't seen it. Who has seen it so far?
I have not watched it. No.
I've watched it.
What you just said.
All right. Break it down, Mo.
There was a moment where there were some funny moments. There was a David Duchovny is hilarious, I think, in this. But he's the only thing and only one who's hilarious in this. When you have to rely on the N-word as the punchline, then you don't have any jokes to tell. It was just lazy in its formulation of humor, and it could have been so much better. Kenya Barris is not, respectfully, I'm as respectfully as I can, he's not a film producer or director. To your point, he's a television writer, and it was just... You know, it was lazy in terms of its comedy.
I heard that this would be better served as a series. It's like he strung together six or seven episodes of something that possibly, if told in a series on Netflix, could have given more time to introduce the characters or make the story make sense. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Liz?
I am going to get hate on this one. That is an insult to Blackish. Blackish is very, I like Blackish a lot. I really, really do. And I find that to be an insult to Blackish. I think that but I do not particularly care for the movie at all. Even though I think that there are some solid points, the solid conversation about the awkward interactions between Julia Dreyfus. I think Julia Dreyfus does a good job. The Julia Dreyfus character and with Laura London, I think is legit. A lot of those interactions make a lot of sense. But I'm going to have to disagree with Mo on this in regards to the use of the N-word. That's Eddie Murphy. I'm sorry. Eddie Murphy has made a career off of the use of the N-word. So I looked at it as like, okay, well, this is an Eddie Murphy kind of thing. I liked the one thing I do like about the movie. I didn't particularly care for it at all, but I liked the fact that it was shot all around LA and it was like parts, you can identify almost every part. And I love when I see movies like that. That's all I have.
Oh, I don't know if that's enough.
You didn't really sell me on the movie. You didn't sell me on it.
Known for the N-word.
I agree with you, Mo. I think in his comedy, especially Delirious,
then there's some of that. But as far as him being an actor, especially since he came to prominence in films that kind of featured him against a tableau of mostly white characters in the Beverly Hills Cop films. And, you know, I mean, there was N-words in 48 Hours, but even Trading Places and stuff like that. It's not like that's been his main thing. Harlem Nights, there was more. Yeah. But I wouldn't say that was what he is known for per se. But my biggest problem is that this is a movie that would not have been made if ABC hadn't decided that every single thing Kenya Barris did was worthy of being shared.
Mm.
We got 4-ish series.
And I like them all.
And, well, the audiences didn't, because there's only 2 left or one left, I think, now. And so Mixed-ish didn't work. Old-ish, and I mean, I love...
Old-ish never came out.
It what?
It never came out. Oldish
okay.
never came out.
So there's to the point. So you had all of these things, including I'll include Black as Fuck, because Black as Fuck was basically supposed to be Blackish, quote unquote, in real life. So Blackish with exponentially more N-words and latent misogyny. But I didn't know that this was Kenya Barris when I first saw the trailer. And the first thing I said to myself was, okay, Eddie Murphy and Jonah Hill, and Jonah is somehow dating somebody in Eddie Murphy's family, and I can just see and imagine Jonah Hill being really, really ignorant, and Eddie Murphy being really, really ignorant back, and so that would be funny. And then I found out Kenya Barris was involved, and I was like, I think I'll watch Extraordinary Attorney Wu.
What dynamic was better?
Okay, here's the problem that I have with Jonah Hill. See, I don't like Jonah Hill's comedy.
But what was funnier? Was it Jonah Hill and Ice Cube, or Jonah Hill and Eddie Murphy?
Mo?
I don't like Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill didn't seem real believable. I don't believe that Jonah Hill gets with Lauren London on any day.
I don't believe that either. So there's that. Especially that since he gained some of that weight back.
Right. A lot of it.
He's got COVID beard and he scoops Lauren London. Come on.
Maybe he's got a
COVID beard.
I don't think that he doesn't even feel present. Like, you know, like it would be different if he felt present. He felt like a laid back, like I'm just phoning this acting thing in. Like he just didn't. And then the amount of cameos in this, I was like, and the cameos to me were just kind of just like, hey, are you busy today? No, you're not. Oh, come by and I got a couple lines for you.
Well, that was Kenya Barris saying, I know people.
I was about to say, that's exactly what it was.
But, I mean,
it was Kenya Barris. And having celebrities on, like on the episodes of the original TV run of Batman. It's just like, Sammy Javis Jr. is leaning out of a window. I mean, that's...
I didn't like that. Because Anthony Anderson, to be a barber, to say like 5 or 6 lines, I thought that was a waste.
Yeah, but again, they're friends. They're like, those are his homies.
Okay, yeah, so we shouldn't watch this movie then. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, it's watchable. It's Netflix.
I'm looking at it like this. My television watching time period has now been reduced to Saturdays after the round table through Sunday around 10 p.m. That's my television watching window, because during the week, by the time I get to the house at midnight, I am not trying to put on anything. So my television watching, my even film going, all of that, I consider really valuable. So far, I'm hearing, go on and skip this and then catch up with The Last of Us. Was the second episode of The Last of Us, did it hold up? Because a lot of people were worried that we got a good first episode, but the second episode was going to suck. How did we do?
It was good. From someone who's played the video game countless times, let me tell you, like, the scene where we find out that Tess is infected. Word for fucking word. Word for fucking word. That is fucking from the video game. oh shit, she's infected. Show me. Oops, our luck had to run out sooner or later, right? That is fucking word from, they literally cut and pasted it from the game and put it on TV. Fucking beautiful. Chef's fucking kiss.
I will say this, because again, I haven't played the game, but when she couldn't light that fucking lighter for like a minute and a half, I was like,
okay.
It was so disturbing. And I was like, oh my gosh, all of these infected clickers is what they call them instead of clickers, biters yeah. in the comic book for Walking clickers. Dead or walkers in the thing. I was just like, she gonna light it, right? Right. Work the thumb. What are you doing? Light the thing. And I thought the upstairs in the museum where the clickers were kind of tracking them, it was really dark. And because it was so dark, I couldn't always tell who was getting tracked. And I also didn't completely understand the rules of why the clickers appeared to respond to sound more, because I was getting like a quiet place sort of thing. But then when I saw the clickers and the fungus had grown completely over their eyes, I was like, well, they can't see shit. So it's gotta be echolocation because there are no eyeballs in this thing. They're all fungi. So
even the small changes from the game to the TV show aren't that big of a deal. In the game, Tess is killed by the government. That same scene, they follow them into that building. And she's like, well, I'm bit, so I'm gonna fucking just, you know, kill as many of these motherfuckers as I can as you guys jet. So that's a little bit different, which is fine. Other than that, like, it's just really, really good.
It is.
The clickers are great. Already renewed for season two. The clickers are great. Dude, the scene in the museum, it's like there's so many times watching this show, I'm like, dude, am I playing the game or is this a TV show? It's great. I cannot recommend it enough. I mean, I know some of y'all don't play games, but you got a PS5, check it out. I'm telling you, it's a good game.
Is the remix for the PS5, is it, because I have a 4, but that, I mean, since I have a 5, I don't really use it anymore. So it's definitely worth it just getting for the PS5 because that play experience is that much better.
Yeah, it's a remake from the ground up. I mean, it's the same game, same story, just the graphics are better. I mean, if you can play it on PS4, play it on PS4. But the story is great. I'm still not sold. I'm kind of slowly warming up to Ellie. She looks nothing like Ellie in the game. But her attitude is like straight from the game. Just like there's so much dialogue where I'm just like, oh, they just took that from the game. Okay. I'm all for that. Is this great? I'll say it again. There are times where I'm watching this show where I'm like, yo, man, hand me my controller. I think I'm playing the fucking game. It's great.
Wow. I think they may have hit on something with this. And there were a lot of Hollywood, quote unquote, insiders who were wondering if they do this right, would it give Hollywood a final entry into successfully converting video games into television and or film properties, because it's been so touch and go.
This isn't
the blueprint.
It's lightning in a bottle.
It's lightning, exactly. It's exactly.
You gotta start off with a good. See, to me, one of the reasons that I think this works for me is that the story, the core story of this man who's experienced this loss. And now, I mean, already by the second episode, you thought maybe he'd have some more travel companions, but already by the second episode, it's just him and his replacement daughter on this mission. And so that core relationship, it's called The Last of Us. And so that really kind of helps to define it, but that makes it different in a way that, you know, the Resident Evil attempt to do a Netflix series, even with, you know, some of the people in that series, you know, that I really like in terms of actors, you can't just take, it's like Silent Hill. You can't just take anything that's a popular video game it's like Uncharted and turn it into something that's going to be enjoyable as
don't a forget film Mortal Kombat.
Well, the first one was good.
But no, when you have a situation where
yes, it was.
Right, no, Mortal Kombat's never been good.
No, but the first one that came out in the 90s, that one was fine.
Oh, I disagree with that. Okay, but the point is that to me, when you can play a game that puts you in the position of doing fantastical things, it doesn't really matter that the story is great because you're shooting firebolts out of your hands and whooping people's asses in a fighting competition. But in a story like this and in a video game where it appears to be paced in a very dramatic way, it lends itself to a story being told in this way. And that just is not going to map to every video game. You're just not going to.
And honestly,
it's going to be in this Mario Brothers game.
I was just thinking about that, right? And then if you think about it, like there's so many misses. If we track the number of misses.
Cowboy Bebop.
We still, you know.
No, but Cowboy Bebop is anime.
Are we about to get Dungeons and Dragons or whatever?
Oh, God.
Well, see, those are different things. Dungeons and Dragons is board game. Bebop is an anime. And I was asking that because the point of my question was because Netflix is about to roll out another massive video game property with BioShock. Netflix is bringing BioShock to the small screen. And I was curious. I was like, for some reason or another, I thought when I first saw The Last of Us, I thought it was BioShock, and I was like, but wait, where's the girl and the big robot looking thing? The big sentient robot looking thing.
Oh, BioShock. I was thinking Biohazard. I was like,
BioShock's not going to work.
So BioShock, you don't think is going to work?
No, it's but it's too weird. It's too much. Well, it's like, okay, the thing that makes
Floating City and all that other bullshit.
Here's the thing. The thing that makes Last of Us work so well is they got the director from the game. So even like the slight changes they've done with the show, like for instance, the clickers having like a hive mind, that's not in the game, but it makes sense. You have someone, basically how I feel, how they're doing the show, they go to the director of the game and go, we want to make slight changes. You think this would work? And he goes, yeah, that would work. It seems like they're working together to tell a better story because it's told better on TV. That's how I feel.
Okay, now. I'm curious because we know that Henry Cavill is a serious gamer, D&D, video games, and the like. We know that he's doing the Warhammer 40K film or series. I think it's a film that's going to become a series.
It's a series, I think.
It's the whole franchise. They've got a bunch of things tied into that. But he is one of the original producers and the people behind the BioShock. And he's saying that I love this game. I've loved this game forever.
It's a great game.
It fits. So that's why I'm just curious. I'm like if you have someone, to your point, Ryan, that loves the source material enough to be true to it, not like Assassin's Creed, where you're like, what is this? Where is the damn Assassin's Creed?
Assassin's Creed?
But what about the other Netflix one? Isn't the one with the Thiessen? Thiessen. She was the main character.
Thiessen?
What's Thiessen?
That's her last name.
Tiffany Amber
Thiessen? Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
Oh, no, gosh. Let me look it up.
The girl from Saved by the Bell?
No, not her. Not
that's her. The only Thiessen I know.
That's the only Thiessen I care about, baby. You know what
that's what I'm like. Is there?
And shout out, happy birthday to Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Turned 49 the other day.
Ooh,
she's 49?
Is she
49? I think that's what it is.
That's
on the old
day. Yeah.
Give daddy a kiss. I'm not trying to look it up because I really don't
you
care.
Know what?
But it was another video game property that we were supposed to. I think they were stabbing people around, but who cares?
Stabbing people around. Huh?
Well, there was a down.
Charlie. I know it doesn't. It doesn't. But it was on
Charlize Theron?
Charlize Theron?
It was the one where I think she was an assassin and.
The old guard?
Yeah,
old,
it begins with an A.
The old guard?
Yeah, no, that's,
well, that's a comic book.
That was a comic book? I can't help you.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Okay, so here's the thing with Henry Cavill. He was like he's a huge gaming nerd, like I am.
Yep.
He's not a writer-director. He was butting heads with the Witcher writers because he wanted things to be a certain way. That's probably the main reason why he left. So, like, just because someone's really passionate about a project, What I need to hear is the writer or director of a show is passionate about the source material. That's what I need to hear. I don't give a fuck if an actor's passionate about it, because the actor doesn't write the story.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe they'll bring someone dope to it. Right now, last reported, it was the director of The Hunger Games, Francis Lawrence, who was doing the BioShock.
Well,
Hunger Games is pretty good.
There's a lot of fucking games to movies or TV shows that don't work. For instance, Halo was a piece of
Halo
shit.
Halo was horrible. Halo fucking was horrible.
Garbage. That was I wiped my ass with that TV show.
I know about Halo is there's a dude named Master Chief, and I own the McFarlane edition action figure. Really dope. But when I watched the series, I don't play the game, never played it, but even I knew that those things don't take the damn helmets off. They're always got the helmets on.
It's so
Mandalorians.
The
Mandalorian trailer just came out.
Came out like last week, didn't it?
Where you been, girl?
I don't know.
Yeah, it.
But we didn't talk about it last week.
The show drops in a month. Drops on the 1st.
What drops on the 1st?
Mandalorian? March 1st.
March
1st, not February. Yeah.
March is a big month.
March is
February
huge.
Is a big month. I'm looking forward to Quantumania.
Yeah, ain't that 2 weeks away?
You can have your Quantumania, Tom. I'm looking forward to Cocaine Bear, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Is that March or is that February?
February, my man.
February.
Peak yes. Cinema. Oh,
let me go on AMC right now and get that.
Theaters are sold out for Cocaine Bear.
I love Marvel. I love MCU. But right now, I'm going to have to take a seat, man. It's a Cocaine Bear.
Yo, you buy a ticket, you get a bump.
Don't get behind the eight ball. Get your tickets.
All right, so we can't get a group showing of Cocaine Bear. We can't all go. It's all sold out.
No, I'm joking about that. Theater's being sold out. But let's see. It's on the 24th.
Because look, man, let's get a party.
Besides, you know, Mo and Tawala, we haven't seen each other in person in forever. It would be nice for us to all go to a movie together.
A huge Cocaine Party, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Hiya, baby.
I'm down with some late night cocaine.
Hiya, baby. You'll never come down. Free place.
Chief, get the yayo.
Lies.
Vision, dreams, and passion.
And all the while, I think
I dream of you.
Oh, we got to do it. Yeah. Okay. Look, this, when you think about it, this whole year, is going to be pretty packed because, as far as when you look at content that's coming out, you've got already now in February, we're getting Ant-Man and the Wasp. We're getting some Mandalorian coming in March, following right after that. Then we're going to get Creed. You know, this entire year, there's some dope stuff coming to Netflix. I'm down with Who Shot Tyrone, which is coming in the summer.
When does John Wick come out?
Oh, snap. John Wick, too. March. There's too much good stuff.
March.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
No, John Wick gonna be hot.
The end of March.
John Wick 4.
Yeah,
it's John Wick 4.
Yo, I can't wait for John Wick, man.
Release date, end of March.
Yo, John Wick gonna be hot. Oh, I can't wait for that shit.
Listen, all I know is looking at Keanu Reeves running like Denzel Washington in Equalizer 2, I don't know how he's killing motherfuckers without some chondroitin, because my God,
he got CBD oil.
I mean, he's got to have something going on, some turmeric powder, something.
Because... Look, he's got all of that. Oh, and then I think the Equalizer comes out this year.
Yeah, Equalizer. Speaking
of Denzel Washington.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe they made a part 3 to that.
You know what, though?
One.
Might as well.
They're doing one was Expendables good. This year with Tony. What's name is going to be in it? Not Tony Ja. What's my man's name? Cameron's name. Look, Expendables 4. I'm down with the Expendables. I don't know if you've seen the new trailer for Shazam. And it really looks like what DC is doing is they're saying that Shazam is the end. That trailer looks like things are coming to a tragic end for DC. And like, cause they're sapping away Shazam powers. It looks like he's sacrificing himself. It looks like they're going out. And if you look at this really and truly, they're not promoting that film at all.
No.
It's about to come out.
I haven't seen one commercial.
What's weird about Shazam 2 is I was on Twitter and James Gunn's promoting it, retweeting it. I'm like, motherfucker, you're killing Shazam.
That movie's also March.
Listen,
that's gonna be killed with Creed.
I just saw a meme that had half of the meme as Zach in his Superman costume, as Shazam costume, and the other half as The Rock in the Black Adam costume. And they said, the fact that there is absolutely no connection between these two franchises is why the DCEU is failing. You can't do Black Adam and not even mention Billy Batson Shazam. It's the dumbest thing possible. Yeah. And granted, they have different textures and different flavors, but you've still got a young kid who I felt in the sequel was going to share the Black Adam powers, and his mom, who I felt in the sequel was probably going to share in the Black Adam powers. So you could have had a Black Adam family versus the Marvel family, and that could have been, or the Shazam family, and that could have been something that would have been a cool kind of team up. But as Twala says, you know, they're taking it in a different place. And if this is the swan song for the Snyderverse, then, you know, I guess we're hit. Well, no, Flash. Well,
that's what I'm saying. This will be the end of everything. And the Flash will be the thing that says, okay, here's how we're moving things forward. Not with the Snyderverse, but here's how things will move forward.
We still have Blue Beetle. We still have Aquaman. I mean, like, so what exactly is the end?
You know, it's interesting because I'm not sure that Aquaman is still coming.
Did you see the statement of, did you see Momoa?
I don't know if it's already filmed.
Batgirl was filmed too.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah, but like, I'm sure this costed them a lot of money. They're gonna
Batgirl costs a lot. And Jason Momoa moving forward into this position into as the new Lobo without saying that he's actually the new Lobo. It seems like Jason is much more intrigued in being Lobo. And,
yeah, he is. You know, he is.
There would be some marketplace confusion if he's Aquaman and then he's not Aquaman.
I'm gonna hold you to that. I agree with you, but he just issued a statement like a week or two ago saying, "I will always still be Aquaman."
Well, yeah, shit, he in your hearts and minds.
The Rock said that shit too.
He did.
Yeah, but he said that to be, "I'm gonna be Aquaman and other things," and I was like,
"You know what? As a cameo, sure, why not? As like, hey, you know, but this dude wants to do Lobo." James Gunn has hinted at Lobo. He would be a much better Lobo than he is an Aquaman. Knowing Lobo, I'm like, he is born to play Lobo.
He looks like Lobo. Yeah, he does.
I don't disagree, Ryan, that it would be a phenomenal waste of money, but they're making some crazy moves, and they might New Mutant this shit. Just like, you know what? Scrap it, put it on D+ or whatever, and just get it off the books. Because, well, no, I guess they can't get it off the books if they do that.
Never
they
saw gotta.
I don't know. I don't really care, frankly. I thought the first Aquaman was an enjoyable romp, but I don't need to see a second one. Aquaman is not that dude.
What I need to see is like James Gunn keeps saying, "Yeah, I'm gonna release the slate like this month." Well, this month's almost over. James Gunn, show me your fucking plan. That's what I need to see.
Read it. You need to read it. Honestly, I don't care. I mean, and I hate to say this because we go in, we have these high expectations We have an expectation that we are not going to be completely disappointed. We were actually pleasantly surprised at Black Adam. The theater went crazy when they saw Superman. And then you're like, and then you crapped all over it by saying we're going to scrap everything, and they can, and then to not even promote Shazam. Like I've been to the movies a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, and not in their preview of Shazam. Like, yeah, nothing on my TV, nothing in my mentions on YouTube, drop nothing. And it's like, well, why don't you even, you know, why, you know, it's to the point where I don't want to say that they don't care about us, but it's to the point where I absolutely am losing care. If it happens, it happens. I'll be there.
That's the thing.
If they die, they die.
Yeah, the rest of these films don't matter.
But did you die?
You know what's interesting is, like, when we look at DC and their potential for releasing stuff, they literally just gave a whole press release and rolled out Titans and Doom Patrol. It's coming. The new seasons. Celebrate, rejoice. And then it's like grand opening, grand closing. Because this week they're like, those shows are effectively canceled. So it's, you know, hey, yes, I'm sure they did tell everyone involved with Aquaman 2. Yes, it's coming out December 2023. Sure thing. It is. That was also before they made those changes. And even James Gunn, he tweeted out, hey, guys, I had nothing to do with the cancellation of Titans or Doom Patrol. You guys are hitting me up. I had nothing to do with that. I'm sorry. That was before me. That was before me.
I don't know. I look at that sideways because he's even saying that, like, my new universe, the TV shows and movies are going to be connected. So I don't really believe that.
Okay, no. Okay, so if the new universe is connected, then Aquaman can't be a part of it because Aquaman's not part of his universe.
None of the movies, Blue Beetle can be connected. Yeah. Nothing can be connected. Shazam can't be connected. So, but they must, here's the thing, they must really, really, I mean, really be behind this Flash movie. It's the fact that they have not fired Ezra Miller, but they fired Justin Roiland, the guy from Rick and Morty.
Right,
like,
weird?
I'm like, that weird? Warner Brothers, what are you doing?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. I'm like, so wait, you're canceling every single thing that he was behind? Fairly, I get it. Good move, but you're keeping Ezra Miller. What did they do to keep their job? I don't get it.
You must have some naked pictures of somebody.
Because it's okay to be a pedophile. I mean, that's essentially
allegedly.
Yeah,
it's okay to kidnap a kid.
Allegedly.
It's going to put an allegedly stamp for every other thing that makes it.
But I mean, this is what he's been arrested for. This is what allegedly.
He hasn't been arrested for like grooming or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't caught up to him on that. Outside of that, the only other thing that I'm excited to watch tonight beyond my anime is catching up with The Bad Batch. Even though I do agree, me and Mo had a conversation about The Bad Batch, and now this season is looking very formulaic, where every episode they're going on some heist adventure, and then they're back to the base. And this last episode I watched, it was another heist. You said what?
You didn't watch this one?
I didn't watch it yet.
You didn't watch this week's?
No.
Okay, so
is it another heist?
Exact formula?
Another
same
heist.
Same exact formula. Yep.
Okay.
It is.
I thought he was Indiana Jones.
I was like, wait a minute. I thought you were about to say, nah, T. It takes off, right?
Shaking
it takes
your off. Head. Same exact formula. It's not exactly what you're expecting it to be.
It's something different.
It is some weird ass Megazoid weapon, but it boils down to it's Indiana Jones.
Yeah, okay. All right. So maybe
is that movie coming out?
That's coming out this year.
I think it's also in March.
During the summer.
Is it coming out in March? Seriously, you're fucking with me.
The Dial of Destiny.
The Dial of Destiny is this summer. All right, so all I was looking forward to tonight is The Last of Us and the Bad Batch, even though that sick, twisted, sadistic completionist in me is actually going to keep watching National Treasure, even though it has not gotten any better. I know. I'm not encouraging anyone to do so.
I would actually encourage
you to go get a root canal first before saying you should watch National Treasure.
I haven't started it. I'm not going to start it. I will say that I'd rather get a prostate exam by Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet and watch that fucking show.
Yes.
Wow. It would probably, all six gems. Probably
be more pleasure.
All six gems.
Well, I will tell you this, Twala. Normally, I am a completionist, but I got through 2.5 episodes White Lotus and decided that the Black Lotus is the show that I'd really rather watch. I cannot force myself to keep watching
is this it bad? Show. I heard it's good.
Is Black bad? Lotus with, what's her name, that Alexandra girl?
Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh. And,
oh, my gosh. It is.
It's, I actually like her.
No, she's fine as an actor, but I'm just saying, in this is like the Love Boat on an island in Hawaii with completely unlikable people.
Oh, that's not
it's,
good.
It's there's humor, but the humor is like real flat.
Like unlikable in a bad way, or like they can't.
So it's
act,
like
or?
Velma.
No. Unlikable in I like okay. So there's this insufferable newlywed husband of rich parents, and his whole arc is we paid for the nice suite because it has a private plunge pool. And then you find out that, you know, the hotel manager is saying, no, sir, I feel that, and he's Australian, so he's got a little accent, you know, you're in this suite, and this suite's a great suite, and it's got an ocean view, and but I think we paid for the better suite. And it's like, well, I don't think so, sir. And then he emails his mom, and his wife is like, can we please just be on a honeymoon? This is a gorgeous ass room. It's the nicest hotel I've ever been in my entire life. Why can't we just enjoy the resort? But he's like, I can't let it go, babe. I can't let it go. And it's just like, why though? Like, can't you just want your wife? And then Connie Britton is playing like Jeff Bezos kind of, and her husband has testicular cancer. And the reason we know that is because he shows us his sack, except he doesn't have testicular. Yes. Full on. And not a glimpse, not like one of those things that you might normally see.
2 seconds,
see.
3 seconds.
Multiple 3 seconds.
Teabagging the screen.
Yes, basically. Wow.
Yeah,
he's HBO, right? So you can
and he's turtle heading too. It? So it's just.
Whoa!
It's, yes, I said it. It's
I'm
not. It's good. Not. It's not worth the time. It just isn't. And I'm amazed that there was a second season, and so I'm not gonna get anywhere near it because I'm already done with it. But
you're the first.
National Treasure is National Treasure.
You're the first person I've talked to that said like they hated it. You're the first person.
Well, no, that we've had some fans who said that it's
really
not very
okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I never saw it though.
I never saw it either.
It's trash.
Okay, so is it trash or is it The Last Jedi trash, Tom?
Well, you're not gonna hate anything
more than you hated The Last
Jedi. It's just purposeless. The opening sequence, right, is shots of wallpaper with this weird music. And that's what the show is. These people are inert. As you push on the wallpaper, you see that there's some little details in the wallpaper, which are story details that you can't see from a distance. But as you push on it, you see these things. But it's a whole bunch of different styles of tropical wallpaper where nothing really happens. Some of it is really, really ugly. And there's no joy to be had out of experiencing even the things that are somewhat funny. The Kelly from Insecure is on there, and I like her. So, you know,
like
that's great.
Reese said that they literally show somebody bowel movement.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Turtle heading. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
That's what Tom was referring to, Liz.
Oh, my bad.
You don't hang out with enough potty.
No, that's the hotel manager taking a shit in the douchebag fiance's luggage because he's about to get fired for because the douchebag's parents are super rich, and so they call this guy their travel agent, and he's like, I send thousands of clients to your resort, and you've got to fix this and you've got to make it right. And it's not worth explaining because I can kind of make it sound like it's interesting. It's not. Just don't stop.
I'm
but,
good
get it, but, get okay, it. But okay, you make it sound like you hate like like the characters, but how's the acting? I guess that's my question.
I mean, if you are excited about experiencing watching an actor be an insufferable asshole, like if that does it for you, what I'm saying is that I will watch almost anything that I start watching until completion, and I will not watch this. It is
that's a lot. Yeah, that's serious.
Wow. And Jennifer Coolidge isn't really acting. Jennifer Coolidge is Jennifer Coolidging. She's pushing her lips out. She's making that sound, and she's got things that accentuate.
I mean, she won an award for this movie.
I like
it. I understand.
I mean,
I like just American Pie,
right?
Yeah, she just won a Golden Globe.
Yeah, and both of her Golden Globes are featured. I'm just saying, it's not worth.
I've liked her since American Pie, so I mean,
of course, there's nothing wrong with her. She's great in Best in Show. Great, love her. This is an awful show, and she is not enough to make it enjoyable.
Yeah. What's happening on Apple Plus, Liz?
Shrinking.
Shrinking is actually very entertaining.
Shrinking. Harold, you mean like Rachel Stubbington, who was on later with Mo Kelly?
Yes. Shrinking.
And Harrison Ford. That is the show. You're right.
Oh, right. Cross promotion.
And Harrison Ford is in it, and he's delightful.
You have my attention.
I actually, two movies that actually came out, and one of them, I'm trying to watch all of the Oscar nominated movies, and I did watch Women's Talking, which was beyond terrific.
Is that the Harvey Weinstein one?
No, that's She Said.
It's Mormons. I mean, tradition. Isn't it traditionalist?
It's like the Osh, but the Amish group, but at the same token, it's a really strong metaphor. It reminds you of the show called the play
12 Angry Men.
And they have a movie, and it's just, it reminds you of that same type of feel. But the metaphor for this is just such a beautiful and gut-wrenching movie. Like, I cried from the beginning to the end. But and then you need to couple this with some funniness with 80 for Brady that drops next week.
Are you serious?
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No. No.
Keeping it real goes wrong.
I love Sally Field. I love Jane Fonda. I love the cast. So good.
No. Anything else, money? Anything with Tom Brady? No. No,
it's funny because over at the station, every other day, Tim Conway Jr., he'd be walking down the hall and he'd be like, "Hey, T, so what you think about this? 80 for Brady? You want to see it, right?" And I'm like, "Dude, what are you kidding?" I'm like, no.
It's so good. Don't listen. It is
I'm going to
so,
tell
so
him
good.
That Dr.
No.
Liz
it
thinks
so
that 80
funny.
For Brady is good.
No. I laughed from the beginning to the end. It was so funny. Tom Brady is not the main. I mean, yes, they're going to go
it's
to the Super
80
Bowl.
For Brady. That's all
they're
I
going
know.
To go see. I know they're going to go see the Super Bowl, but my point is that it's really about the friendship of these four women.
That's
what the movie's about.
Well, I think Rita Moreno is amazing in the trailer.
She does.
I think Jane Fonda's facelift is amazing.
It's superior.
And I think that I have no interest in seeing it.
It's not for y'all.
Okay. Right. Well, look,
that's perfectly fine.
It's
y'all
definitely
not for,
someone.
Yeah,
it's for women and seniors. My mother loved it.
It's not for sports fans, obviously.
my son was like, I only like the football part at the end. But
there's football in the football movie?
I wouldn't go that far.
All right, so what is on your box, Anthony?
I'm actually waiting for Wednesday. Check out Arc on Sci-Fi Channel.
Arc, what is Arc?
Yeah, it's kind of like a like an arc, you know, like Noah's Ark, but it's in outer space. So I'm trying to check. I mean, sci-fi really hasn't had any good hit pretty much since they got rid of The Expanse.
So
I figured take a look at this, see if it's any is worth investing some time into.
Well, sci-fi is about to pick up a lot of stuff that HBO Max has dropped, a lot of those properties are going over to sci-fi, so they might be pretty good. What you watching, Mo?
I finished up Tulsa King. It's fantastic. If you don't watch it, you are missing out. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's just great. Action. Mm-hmm. Sylvester Stallone is a legitimate, consummate actor. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. It's really good. What you watch, Ryan?
Well, I was going to finish Jack Ryan this weekend, but tomorrow I'll be watching some football. So my Super Bowl picks, by the way, are the Bengals versus the Eagles. That's what's going to happen probably. But yeah, sure. Jack Ryan, TV show wise, that's I'm all about that. I got to finish that because I love Jack Ryan.
All right.
It's a good show. This is a good season.
I got some anime. Anime that I've got to get into. We've got a new episode of My Hero Academia dropping tonight. Got some Trigun, the new digital animation anime series dropping. What else? One Piece is dropping tonight. There's a lot of anime I got to catch up on. Then I got to get into Last of Us, or I might watch Last of Us because if that's anywhere near creepy, I got to get my mind. I haven't watched the second episode yet. I haven't watched it yet.
Boo, get off the
stage. I haven't started it yet either.
Look, I'm about to go watch it, dude. Look, I got to see it. I wanted to know if it was worth it first.
Sorry for the spoilers.
No. Look, dude, you've given me reason to watch it. Like, I was worried. I was like,
I'll tell you the spoilers right now. It ain't even out yet. I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen.
I am good. Is there anything else I'm missing? The who?
Well, I've said it now two times, so I'm saying it a third time since it's what I'm currently watching. Extraordinary Attorney Woo is...
Yeah, Lisa says that.
It's a Korean drama. Think Ally McBeal with Korean people.
Is that the one where she's autistic?
It is.
Okay, I've heard of that.
She's the painter or what? I don't get it.
Isn't she an attorney?
Amazing, yes, she is incredible. An attorney.
Amazing attorney.
And Ryan is being a spaz, which I can't say. Ryan is being a jerk. So basically, the setup is that she didn't talk until she was 5 years old. And she saw her father get into a fight with their landlord, and she started spouting out the civil code for personal injury. Ooh. And the father says, "You're talking," and she goes upstairs and she just starts reciting word for word all of these legal texts that she read. And then the neighbors or the landlord's wife says, "You're going to be a lawyer one day." And we flash forward and she like had a perfect score on the thing and graduated summa cum laude from the university in Korea and da 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 da. And so now, you know, she's got her tics and she also has these fantasy sequences with whales. So like literally how in Ally McBeal, she fixates on whales. That's something she likes.
Okay.
And, so like Ally McBeal had the dancing baby and, you know, the other attorney had the Barry White songs that he'd do his little dance and stuff. That's what she has. She has these sequences with whales and the whales kind of presage a major turning point in her understanding of how the case should go. And she's just very passionate about the law and she helps to solve these cases. You know, to the favor of her employer. And there's also a little bit of a mystery because the father is described as a widower, but then you see that maybe everything isn't what it seems. And she always, because she is neurodivergent, she always has a different way of looking at the case and digging into what actually should be the legal remedy for the particular, and it might be an arcane thing, but she's always uncovering this really cool thing. And of course there's a love interest spark and all this other sort of stuff going on, but it's quite enjoyable. The thing that is challenging for me is that, like you, Tawala, time is precious. And so sometimes I'll have something on in the background, but I absolutely cannot stand the dubbed performances of either Squid Game or this. And so I have to leave their real Korean voices on, but that means I have to also read subtitles. So I can't go and heat up something to eat and just listen to what's going on in the background. I have to pause it and then come back and see it because I have to really focus on it.
So what you're saying is it's better than She-Hulk. Is that what you're saying?
I like She-Hulk.
You know, it has some elements that I think people would compare with She-Hulk, but you know, again, you're being very Ryan in your.
I'm being an asshole. I know, but I didn't really care for She-Hulk. But yes,
yeah, we get it. I find it to be an enjoyable show so far, and I agree with one of the commenters. No, it is. It's very good. One of the commenters said, "Traitors," which is a British spy thing. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago when I was extolling the virtues of Jack Ryan. It's a little bit unbelievable in stretches, but solid performances. Una Chaplin, who is Charlie Chaplin's great granddaughter, I think, is very good in it. And of course, Daredevil is in it, and Charlie Cox is in it.
Sounds good to me. That sounds great.
Enjoyable to watch, although there are definitely some credibility. Like, you just come on, he's the head of MI6. There's no way he could do this. But quite enjoyable. That's what's kind of occupying my time. Oh, and The Recruit is also very good, as I
said. I heard that's good, actually.
They have a second season.
And when I tell you a cliffhanger,
that's Netflix.
Hanger.
Right? Yeah. The Noah Centineo one. I've heard that people are like, it'll surprise you. You go into it and you see this, you know, affable CIA agent who, you know, just you looking at him, you're like, wait a minute, how are you able to? No, right. Dude, there's no way you would. But then the more you watch it, you're like, oh, you definitely can. You're very understated in your performance and your nods. You really play down how good you are. And they said that's why it works. I don't know.
It's like I said, cliffhanger. They had to have a season two because the way they ended, it's like, wait, what? There's no, I mean, you just had to have it. So, but right. Enjoyable, worth it.
What you watching, Mo?
You already asked me. Tulsa.
Oh, yeah, Tulsa King. Yeah, because I got rid of that damn app. All right, cool. I gotta get that app back. I know Tulsa King. I know I've heard ever since Mo, and seriously, Mo put Tulsa King out there on Later with Mo Kelly. And I think I may have said something about not watching it there. And I've been inundated with, you're tripping. Mo is right. It is one of Sylvester Stallone's best performances since Rocky. I'm like, wait, what? Okay. They're like, yeah, dude. Like his acting wise, they say it's his best performance on screen since Rocky. And I'm like, okay.
It's really, really good.
All right, I will get with it. I'm going to download the app. I'll get a free trial next time it comes around. Or, you know, it's interesting. Every time I buy a damn ticket at AMC, I keep getting ads now. You've got a free download for this. You got a free this. I'm like, wait, what? Like, okay, sure. So next time I see the Paramount Plus free trial subscription, I'll get it, watch Tulsa King, and I'll be out. And with that, Anthony, good sir, take us out, my brother.
Good news, everybody.
McBain.
Sweet Christmas.
Mo Kelly.
Multipass.
Dr. Liz.
80 for Brady.
No. Oh,
shit. Okay.
All right. Fuck.
Fuck out of here. Where is my cetacean suit? Also, go see Infinity Pool. I'm seeing that at 11.
She-Hulk sucks.
Excelsior.